3 a.m. Tales of Terror contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Okay, hi, and welcome to 3 a.m. Tales of Terror, where we tell you stories of the paranormal and ghost stories alike, all that.
I can't with this motherfucker.
So we have a guest star for this episode.
The faces, dude.
Okay, so our friend Robert is here to tell the story with us.
Hello. This is Robert.
This is going to be a great episode.
Social anxiety go brrr.
So I split the story
it's a
up.
Serious podcast.
It is.
If you can't, this is the most serious,
yes.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm. Super serial.
Yeah, because every time she puts phenomenon in the text, it's phenomenon. It's great. You just have two of me now.
Yeah. So I split the story up. We're doing stories of ghost ships. So there's three ghost ships that we're going to be talking about, which is the Mary Celeste, the RMS Queen Mary, and the Octavius ghost ship. So we'll be talking about those. And I split it up to where I will read a section, Kenny will read a section, and Robert will read a section.
I'm Kenny, so. By the way, if anybody forgot.
I don't think they're going to be able to.
And I am Robert.
I think they'll be able to tell the difference in voices. He looks so nervous.
He's so serious.
No, I'm just trying to be all.
It's not. It's stoic. Not a serious professional.
Professional,
podcast.
You've met me, right?
I'm very serious and professional, though.
Since when?
Right. Okay. So.
So yeah. So. Also, you can cuss. I know you do.
What? Robert cusses? You better watch your fucking language.
I will watch all my language.
So, it's not that bad. I don't think. We also talk... Okay, so I don't think you've ever... Like, I'm just going to put a reminder out there and let Robert know that we'll talk about... We'll read the story and we'll talk about a little bit of it.
Thoughts, just fucking
yeah, if you
Robert.
Have, like, thoughts...
I do it all the time. I am the sensible, like, nah, this bullshit.
Yeah, so...
This don't make no sense.
I don't know how Robert is about paranormal stuff. So, I guess we'll find out.
He's one of us.
Oh, okay. One of us, one of you, or me?
Me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's the logical person.
That's great. So, yeah, if you have any opinions, just blurt it out while we read.
Just rip the mic.
I'm going to start.
You're going to start.
I'm going to start.
Then start.
Okay. So, the first one we're going to talk about is the Mary Celeste. Okay, so the Mary Celeste Merchant Brigantine. Is that how you say that? Brigantine? Excuse me.
I am so glad Robert's here.
Me.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
You know what, Robert? No, we're going to put that right there. We're going to let Robert talk some shit.
Brigantine?
Brigantine.
No. Brigantine.
Brigantine? Is that a museum?
Okay, was originally named Amazon. In 1868, the ship was purchased and renamed the Mary Celeste. Before the purchase and rename of the Amazon, the ship was known to others as a cursed ship after enduring the death of a captain and the sinking of another ship from impact. It was also run aground in a storm, which promptly led to the abandoning of the Amazon ship.
It just won that fight. That's why the other ship sank.
The shipwreck of the Amazon was bought a couple of times and eventually was sold off to a group led by James Winchester and Benjamin Spooner Briggs.
How are you going to buy a boat that sunk?
Because it didn't sink. It sank another boat.
Yeah, it sank another boat.
Oh, because it won the fight. It was on the land.
Damn, can you fucking pay attention? Like, you have the shit in front of you.
No, I don't want to.
These two men fixed the ship, added necessary additions, and changed the ship's name from the Amazon to Mary Celeste.
Call it the Mary Sue.
We out here brawling.
Okay.
Why would you buy a messed up ship, though?
Yeah, see, the sinking of another ship.
Because it's cheaper. It's at a discount.
It's at a discount.
discount freighter yard.
Valid. Valid. Captain Briggs was born in Massachusetts in 1835. His father was a sea captain, and his five sons nearly all went to sea, with two becoming sea captains, a bunch of seamen. Benjamin married his cousin Sarah Cobb, nice, and enjoyed a Mediterranean honeymoon. Benjamin Briggs...
There's different times back then.
I mean, it'd be like that. It's only weird... Never mind. Benjamin Briggs, who was soon held in high standing in his profession, grew weary of seafaring and decided in 1872 to invest his savings in the share of the ship, the Mary Celeste. He decided to take command of her for the first voyage. Firstly, he oversaw an extensive refit in New York with the intent to travel to Genoa in Italy. It's Genoa, not Genoa.
Genoa sausage.
Salami.
Same difference.
With his extensive sailing experience, he knew to choose his crew for the voyage with care. The first mate, Albert G. Richardson, had sailed with him previously. The second mate, Andrew Gilling, was born in New York. The four general seamen were all German. Oh, German seamen.
Oh my. Those ones like to be in dungeons.
That's what I hear.
What the fuck?
You're the one that picked about boats with two grown children. The brothers Volkert and Boz Lorenzen, Arian Martens, and Gottlieb Gutschall, he's a Jew, were from the Frisian Islands.
I think it's Frisian?
Frisian. Frisian, the Frisian Islands.
Okay, we have the autocorrector here.
Preparing to sail. On October 20th, 1872, Briggs arrived at Pier 50 on the East River in New York City to supervise the loading of the ship's cargo of 1,701 barrels of denatured alcohol. This alcohol is an ethanol that has additives to make it poisonous, bad-tasting, foul-smelling, or nauseating to discourage its consumption by the crew, because they're all crackheads. His wife and baby came on board on Sunday, and Briggs wrote to his mother, saying the vessel was, and I quote, in beautiful trim, and I hope we shall have a fine passage. Following some bad weather, the ship finally set sail on the 7th of November, 1872. While Mary Celeste prepared to sail, the Canadian brigantine Die Gracia lay nearby in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Hoboken? Okay, no.
Hoboken.
My sister always made a joke, and it was no joke in Hoboken, and I don't know if she actually knows that's a fucking place.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know it was a fucking place.
Yeah.
I did.
I don't know my geology. Think about it.
Geography.
Geology is rocks. Because geology rocks.
Get the fuck out. Just leave.
It was awaiting a cargo of petroleum that was headed to Genoa, traveling via Gibraltar. Captain David Morehouse and his first mate were highly experienced seamen.
You got choked up on semen?
I did. But, you know, we swallowed.
Stop! I'm not taking that out.
Good.
Captain Briggs and Morehouse were likely close friends and maybe gay lovers, as they shared common interests. It is thought they dined together the night prior to setting sail. They passionately kissed watching the sunset.
She always gives me those points. She knows it'll break my concentration. Always.
The Die Gracia set sail on 15th November, 8 days after Mary Celeste, and followed the same general route.
Right. I feel like Robert's going to want to do the podcast with us from now on.
Nah, he's going to be a special guest. He's going to be special treats like when we talk about semen.
Oh my God.
I like to choke on semen.
Okay, the maiden voyage. The Mary Celeste traveled across the Atlantic Ocean to reach the destination of Genoa, Italy. The ship experienced intense weather for 2 weeks before it was expected to reach the Azores. The Mary Celeste was expected to reach the Azores Island a couple of days before, according to the ship's chronometer. However, the ship had yet to see land. After seeing nothing for weeks, Captain Benjamin S. Briggs wrote in the logbook on November 25th that they had finally seen land. The logbook declared that they were approximately 6 miles from Santa Maria Island, which is part of the Azores Islands.
Why did they always add in the fact that, like, they were gay lovers? Like, why does that matter?
Yeah, why do they add that?
I don't... Did they really?
It's not in there. That's great. Dude, I believed it. I believed it so fucking hard. They're not. You don't even know.
It just said that they're close friends.
It was so smooth. That's so good. Because I couldn't read it because he had the fucking iPad. So I couldn't read it. I just believed it because it was so, like, the transition was so good.
Ad-libbing, baby.
That's good. That's pretty good. And it's so smooth, you can't edit it out.
No, I know. I can't.
That one drama class in high school, you know.
The abandoned ship.
Abandoned ship. Abandoned ship. You just ruined my sound effect.
No, that's the ship creaking in the wind.
My God.
9 days later, on the 4th of December, the Di Gracia ship, captained by David Morehouse, noticed that a ship with only 3 sails set was drifting away from the Azores Islands. Captain David Morehouse realized the ship in the distance was the Mary Celeste and began to be concerned. The first and second mates were sent by the captain to check on Mary Celeste and the crew members. When they climbed on board, they found the ship deserted. The sails were poorly set in a bad condition. The rigging was damaged and the ropes hanging over the side. The fore and lazarette hatches were open and the ship's main lifeboat was missing. The binnacle housing the ship's compass was moved and the glass cover broken. There was about 1.1 meters of water in the hold, and the device for measuring the depth of this water was abandoned on deck. They found the ship's daily log in the mate's cabin, and its final entry was dated at 8 a.m. on November 25th, 9 days earlier. It recorded Mary Celeste's position then as just off of Santa Maria Island in the Azores. The cabin interiors were wet, and personal papers from Briggs were scattered in his cabin. Missing were his navigational instruments and the ship's papers. Galley equipment was neatly stowed away. There was no food prepared or under preparation, but there were ample provisions in the stores. There were no obvious signs of fire or violence. After investigation, these men realized that there was no sign of the captain, crew members, or family on the Mary Celeste. However, the most unusual finding was that nothing was out of place on the ship. The ship was sailable and contained the logbook, food, water, alcohol, that's the most important, clothes, Sophia's toys, and an imprint on the bed from Sophia, all without any sign of distress.
Also, wait a second, who the fuck is Sophia?
Yeah, the wife. Yeah. Must be his daughter. Or maybe it is his... Maybe well, it's it toys, his... so it'd have to be a child.
I was like, who the fuck is Sophia? I don't know.
Under maritime law, anyone salvaging a ship could expect a substantial share of the combined value of the rescue vessel and cargo. Morehouse has decided to split the crew between the two ships and proceed to Gibraltar. It was slow going, and both ships were ported... I hate my fucking life. It was slow going, and both ships were in port by December 12th, 1872.
That's how you know it's Robert's part.
The investigation. Dramatic pause. The Gibraltar hearings began on December 17th, 1872, and lasted until March 1873. Edward Joseph Baumgartner, what a weird name, was the registrar of the Admiralty Court, and Frederick Solly Flood was the Attorney General of Gibraltar. The judge was James Cochran, and the lawyer representing Di Gracia was Henry Peter Pisani. Solly Flood ordered an inspection of the Mary Celeste, which was carried out by shipping inspector John Austin and diver Ricardo Portonato. Solly Flood was certain there had been a crime aboard the Mary Celeste. He was looking for criminality to explain what had happened. A saber slash was discovered on the deck, as well as what Solly Flood claimed were traces of blood, although this turned out to be untrue. A variety of scenarios were investigated, such as sabotage to collect insurance and even a natural disaster. Nevertheless, the court case ended without any clear determination of what had happened.
Okay, what happened to the Mary Celeste? Theories over the years have ranged from mutiny and pirate attack to assault by giant octopus or sea monster, while the more scientifically minded proposed an explosion caused by fumes from the 1,700 barrels of crude alcohol in the ship's hold. For a perspective from the Times period, it's good to look at how the incident was being reported. The Boston Post of February 1873 argues that the crew have been murdered by pirates. This conclusion is reached because of the amount of blood found on board, the fact that there appeared to be articles destroyed and missing, and the suggestions that pirates were active in the area. In summary, it is thought that the Mary Celeste was actually further west than the captain knew because of a faulty chronometer. He had been expecting to see land 3 days earlier. The captain may have not been fully aware of just how much water was in the hole. So with rising water, intense weather, not seeing land when he expected to, maybe he called for the ship to be abandoned. Perhaps we will never know exactly what occurred. It certainly remains an enduring mystery.
So hold on. So the ship was found perfectly fine, but they think they were attacked by a kraken.
Mm-hmm. A giant octopus. See.
Yeah, so what'd it do? Get on board, kill everybody, and then arrange the furniture, and then get off?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He didn't say he wasn't a neat kraken.
I mean...
And it said sea monsters. It could have been like a siren or something.
Yeah, but sirens also, like, sing the song to make them crash into the rocks. Every sea monster destroys the boat. There is not one that gets on there and kills everybody. And then
yeah, we've played Sea of Thieves.
It's fair. Pirates checks out. I will give it pirates.
Yeah.
Pirates checks out. But again,
if it's just blood and no damage, though.
So right. this one isn't
and
really
nothing
like
was stolen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Mary Celeste isn't really like a ghost story. It's more of like a what the fuck kind of happened to it? Like,
I mean, it's still technically a ghost story.
And what happened to what happened to the crew?
Plus, it was already a haunted vessel.
Yeah. It was cursed.
Cursed vessel.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it just doesn't. So this is what we do. I always break down shit because they don't make no sense. Kraken, siren,
what pirates.
No. So a kraken or a giant octopus.
Giant octopus. That's what it said. Sea monster.
Siren, like what Roberto said.
Yeah.
I don't know what other sea creature.
A Charybdis.
Yeah, merman. Yeah. Anything like that. None of that checks out because every one of those destroys the boat and or takes all the shit.
Well, maybe they just had sea madness and they all jumped over.
I mean, that checks out.
Maybe they had super monocephal scurvy and it caused their entire bodies to rot into nothing.
That would also check out.
Could have.
I could see disease doing that. I mean,
they all went mad and jumped overboard.
It could have also been like the movie Open Water, where they all freaked out and they're like, yeah, dude, there's land over there. And it wasn't. It was the crest of the horizon.
Love Open Water. That's such a good movie.
That's such a shitty movie.
Shut the fuck up. It's a great movie.
It's an hour and a half of people in a raft doing stupid stuff. I'm going to drink this seawater.
Delicious.
I'm so thirsty. I'm going to drink this seawater. And then it rained and they didn't collect any. Logic. And then they're like, dude, there's land over there. I can swim to it. It's only a couple miles out. And they all get eaten by sharks. Spoiler alert. For anybody who hasn't seen a god-awful movie.
Also, I love that me and you are reading... like we normally do, and then Robert's like got this whole new persona when he reads. Okay, so next is the RMS Queen Mary.
Why isn't the Black Pearl on here? It's a curse boat.
I couldn't find anything about it. Like, I didn't look it up.
Why not?
I also tried to look up the Flying Dutchman, and everything about that was shitty, so.
It's because it's really old. Yeah.
It's like really old, like, fisherman's tales.
No, well, it wasn't.
It's more
it was
like folklore, really.
Yeah, and it was also, but it was also like a paragraph about it. That's all I could find was like a paragraph.
It's almost like it's all word of mouth because pirates didn't write a bunch of shit down.
Well, can you just read?
Did
about
you really
the...
not put the Black Pearl in here though?
No, I didn't.
It's got the most famous pirate of all.
Can you just read about the RMS Queen Mary?
I will, but I won't like it.
Okay, that's fine. You don't have to.
Amid the Art Deco style and grand splendor of the Queen Mary lies another, more sinister force that begs to be found. If you dare, that is. The Queen Mary, an ocean liner that was converted into a hotel and permanently docked in Long Beach, California, is as stately as they become. Not become, just come. But don't let its...
I'm gonna come.
Oh, God. But don't let it luck its luck's appearance fool you. It also happens to be one of the most haunted hotels and almost certainly the most haunted ship in America. The property finished an extensive renovation in early 2023. That's kind of recent, like last year. So while you ponder a stay on the spooky but spick and span ship, here's everything you need to know about its dark past and ghosts who haunt its halls.
Haunting.
Okay. No, it's my turn.
Yeah, she said fuck me.
No, you're reading the next part.
Yeah, she gave you a section.
Well, I fucked up the order is all.
I did.
Yeah, the
I know.
The round robin rotation is now fucky. It's the viewers broken. Probably won't like it.
I did it.
Ruin my podcast.
Now it's Robert's podcast.
I was the star of the show. Now it's Robert. Hold on, I gotta get me Dwinkie.
God, I can't believe you ruined my podcast.
The haunted history of the Queen Mary. The Queen Mary began its life as a cruise ship on the Cunard White Star Line. The vessel was christened on September 26, 1934 by Queen Mary herself, and it went on to log more than three decades ferrying both luxury and military passengers.
You telling me Queen Mary hit it with a bottle of wine? Fuck.
What?
That's how you christen a ship.
Oh.
You take a bottle of wine.
Well, champagne, I think.
Well, yeah, champagne. And you have to put a string. Is it on the bow or the stern? I think it's the stern, because where the impeller, where the props are, but for modern ships. And then you have to let it swing, and if it doesn't bust, it's bad luck, and that ship is cursed.
Oh, okay. During World War II, the ship was pressed into service to transport soldiers between the fronts. The liner was retired in 1967 and given over to the city of Long Beach. Just 5 years later, it reopened as a floating hotel, allowing guests to sleep among the original wood paneling and portholes and imagine what it would have been like to cross the Atlantic in style.
Portholes?
Did they give me scurvy? Yeah, do I get, like, flogged or keel-hauled if I, like, fucking do something wrong? Yeah, they basically tie a rope from the back of the ship to the front of the ship, and, like, you do a big loop underneath the ship, and they pull you up on the other side. Mm-mm. Most people die from it.
Shocked. Did they drown to death?
Shocking.
Living guests, though, aren't the only ones who've been known to spend time on the historic ship. At least 49 deaths are said to have taken place on the Queen Mary since its maiden voyage, and accordingly, legend holds that several areas on board have been home to apparitions. These days, the hotel offers ghost tours by day and night to take full advantage of the spooky stories. Not only does the Queen Mary offer a transatlantic history, but it is known as one of the most haunted destinations in America. Chris Wilmoth, the director of marketing at the Queen Mary, told Travel and Leisure in an email.
But has Ghost Adventures done an episode on it?
That's probably.
That's really what makes it one of the most haunted places in
probably.
America.
A lot of things that we talk about, Ghost Adventures has done.
The truth is out there.
And we're going to find it.
My God. The unique history of the ship allows us to offer a one-of-a-kind and authentic experience that delve into the paranormal, from evening tours and ghost investigations to overnight stays in our most haunted stateroom, B340. So, now we're going to talk about Queen Mary, so the most haunted rooms on the Queen Mary. Starting with stateroom B340.
The Queen Mary's most haunted rooms, stateroom B340. The stateroom was a problem long before the Queen Mary opened as a hotel. In 1948, a British third-class passenger, Walter J. Adamson, passed away in the room under circumstances that have been lost to time. Later, in 1966, a woman staying in the room reported that she was woken up when the bed covers were pulled off of her, and she saw a man standing at the foot of her bed. That was actually the foot wrangler that haunted the Queen Mary.
What?
She screamed and rang for the steward, but the man apparently vanished into thin air, toes in hand.
My God.
In the years since, guests have reported hearing someone knocking on the door in the middle of the night and seeing bathroom lights mysteriously turn on. Even the hotel's maids have made reports of bathroom water running when no one had stayed in the room for days, and on one occasion, of bed covers being pulled off right after the bed had been made. The room was closed to guests for many years, but it has since reopened for anyone looking for an evening of creepy fun from the toe wrangler.
The toe wrangler?
the Mauritania Room. In 1989, two women were sent to clean this lounge for a VIP reception. When they entered the room, they found a guest sitting silently in a chair in the middle of the dance floor. When a third woman came in to help with the cleaning, she remarked the guest was staring, and she asked him to move. As the employees started to call security, the guest faded into thin air right in front of them, a feat all three women reported seeing at the same time.
The Mayfair Room. This room was once the ship's beauty salon, but now it's used as an office space for hotel employees. In 2001, a member of the accounting staff came into work early, at 5:30 a.m. to be exact, and simply felt like something was off. She went about her office tasks before sitting down at her desk and feeling unusually cold. Later, she felt someone brush up against the back of her chair, but no one was there. Just minutes after that, the woman saw a transparent figure in white walk across the room and pass through the door. Needless to say, the employee grabbed her keys and fled the room until her coworkers arrived.
Flirting versus harassment.
I know.
The first class swimming pool. This now abandoned onboard pool was once the epitome of luxury. Oh, epitome. I'm fucking stupid. This now abandoned onboard pool was once the epitome of luxury, with an illuminated fountain of mother-of-pearl ceiling and elaborate mosaic tiles. The pool is no longer in use because of California code issues, but that doesn't stop it from being one of the hotbeds of paranormal activity on the ship. People have reported seeing a number of apparitions here, including a young woman in a tennis skirt walking downstairs and disappearing behind a pillar. Based on the time that this ship was sailing, I'm pretty sure that ghost probably is not actually real.
My God.
A woman in an old wedding gown next to the pool with a little boy in a suit, and a cloud of steam appearing out of nowhere, along with a little girl in a blue and white dress who disappears in an instant. So how do you see her if she disappears so quickly?
Boiler room number 4. Several people have reported seeing a little girl in this area, sometimes sucking her thumb and sometimes with a doll in her hand. It's my wife. Whether or not the room is haunted by the little girl, we'll probably just choose to stay away. Why would a little girl be in a boiler room?
I don't know.
Freddy Krueger would like to speak with you.
Bitch.
Okay, so this is the last room that is haunted on the RMS Queen Mary. Hatch door number 13.
Hatch door number 13.
This hatch door is known as Shaft Alley, and it was and it was the site of a gruesome accident that a crewman, or that what?
A seaman?
No.
Accident that saw a crewman
crushed to death.
Crushed to death.
A seaman crushed to death under my foot.
One night in 1966, the watertight doors of the engine in the engine and boiler rooms were ordered to be closed. About 5 minutes later, an 18-year-old crew member from Yorkshire was found crushed in the door hatch, in the door of hatch number 13, trapped with his arms pinned to his side. Although the man was freed and carried to the hospital ward, it was too late. He showed signs of crushing injury on his arms, chest, and pelvis and was bleeding from his nose. He was injected with morphine but died shortly after. His ghost is regularly seen around the area now, with people reporting the sound of someone running behind them and whistling. Others have possibly made... No, don't do that. Others have possibly made contact with the doomed crewman, noticing spots of grease that look like fingerprints on their faces. Some have seen a figure of a bearded man in blue coveralls that looks just like the man who died out of the corner of their eye. And several others have said they saw an engineer wandering the hallways asking if guests had seen his wrench, but when they went back to find him, he had disappeared.
Why would they go back and find him unless they had his wrench?
Maybe they found a fucking wrench. I don't know.
Hey, yo, I got your wrench here, man. Where'd you go?
I know!
You imagine going and being like, nice guy, be like, you know what? I'm going to find this guy's wrench. And you just find a random pipe wrench that's not astral. It's real.
Very real pipe wrench.
And then you just go looking for the dude. You accidentally just stole some tradesman wrench.
That tradesman's probably going to hunt you down and break your knees with it.
Probably. I would.
Okay.
That's my monkey wrench.
So that was the story of the RMS Queen Mary.
Queen Mary.
So we're on the last one.
I love you, Keek.
The Octavius ghost ship, and Robert's going to start.
The Octavius ghost ship. There are many strange mysteries that reside in history, but one of the most unsettling is that of the Octavius ghost ship. Discovered along the coast of Greenland in 1775, the Octavius had no living crewmates on board, with the remains of every crew member found frozen below deck. With such little evidence to fully determine the fate of these 28 crew members, what truly happened to the crew on the Octavius? Dun, dun, dun.
So wait, anybody that was on board was under downstairs. They were down.
They were just sleepy.
They were in the hull and they all froze to death.
They just all fell asleep. They forgot to turn the alarm clock on. Ain't that right, Keek?
They froze to death?
I guess you're going to have to find out.
They got wet. That wet, wet.
Well, they were in a boat. Boats go in water.
Ain't going fast.
Fun fact, Jamie, did you know this? There are more airplanes in the ocean than boats in the sky?
What the fuck?
Didn't know if you knew that or not.
Why would there be boats in the sky?
Exactly. The Flying Dutchman. It's in the name.
Yeah, that boat flies.
Robert is the reason we need to put this on YouTube. Because of his...
So people can watch him, like...
Be stupid.
From bright beginnings to tragic fates. The famous Octavius was built during the mid-18th century and was set to sail the high seas in 1761. The ship departed from England with a destination somewhere in Asia, with a crew of 28 people on board. While the ship did reach its intended destination about a year later, it was not so lucky upon its return voyage. Because the weather had been so warm and the sea so calm, the captain of the Octavius decided to chance traveling through the Northwest Passage.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's a horrible idea. This passage connects the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean through the Arctic Ocean around northern Canada.
The Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah. I'm pinpointing it, being specific about it. This feat had not previously been accomplished, so it is assumed that the captain...
the captain.
Call a stroke, I'm having an ambulance. I smell toast.
The captain.
Capitan. Look at me. I am the captain now.
This feat had not previously been accomplished, so it is assumed that the captain had wanted to be the first to make a successful journey through this route. It would have also significantly cut down on their return time, meaning they would get home much sooner than if they had taken... Stop looking at me!
Making you nervous?
Yes, because you're looking at me seductively.
Ew, oh my god!
Smoldering eyes.
Stop.
It would have also significantly cut down on their return time, meaning they would get home much sooner than if they had taken their original route. With the weather as good as it was, he decided it was worth the risk. Unfortunately, the risk wasn't worth it. Shocker. Once they reached northern Alaska during the fall of 1762, the ship disappeared. Yeah, they probably went underwater. Its last known location was approximately 250 miles north of...
Good luck with that. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, Robert, you don't even know. Oh, shit.
Utkigvik?
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 Utkigvik. Back when it was when Alaska was Russia.
Yeah.
Fact. Utkigvik, Alaska. Before it was never heard from again until its eerie discovery. Yeah, it's almost like Alaska is known for their super calm waters.
I know, right?
The Northwest Passage is very safe, I promise.
Yeah. We should go there on a cruise, James.
We should go to the Northwest Passage. You know, it's warm right now, but, you know, we'll go there. We'll try to go through the Northwest Passage. It'll be fine. It's nice and warm right now. You know, no one's ever done it before, but, you know, we're just trying to do this routine, like, sailing trip.
And the sea's been calm, but what's the worst that could happen during a frozen passage?
Yeah. What's the worst thing that could happen?
Frozen in time, the eerie discovery. Though the Octavius was initially lost around Alaska, it was actually discovered off the west coast of Greenland nearly 13 years after its disappearance.
Greenland, that's the really pretty place, right?
Yeah, no. Greenland has ice.
Do you know why it's called Greenland and Iceland is called Iceland?
Why?
Because
the Nords are funny.
Yeah, when the Nords discovered it, they wanted to let everybody know, ha ha, funny, so they switched the names.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the English went to Greenland...
It was ice,
and there was nothing to do.
And no value to be found.
Yeah, there was nothing there except for literal, it's just frozen land. And mm-hmm. they went, hee hee, funny.
Gotcha, English.
In 1775...
Imagine being British.
Oh my god. A whaling ship called the Herald discovered the ship stuck off the coast, buried solidly in ice.
Maybe that's why they're all frozen, because they were found in ice.
After 13 years, the ship itself had some clear decay, but not enough to keep the crew of the Herald from exploring it for goods. Once they boarded the ship, the Herald crew discovered all 28 crew members of the Octavius frozen to death below deck. Because of the freezing cold temperatures, the sight of the deceased crew was an unsettling one. All of the crew members were frozen solid, sitting or laying as exactly as they were when they were once living below deck. The crew of the Herald found the captain of the Octavius sitting at his desk in his cabin, pen still in hand, as if he had just been writing a note. Beside him sat his wife and child, huddled together under blankets as if they were taking a quick nap. They also found a sailor with
sleep.
Oh my god. They also found a sailor with a tinderbox nearby, as if he were trying to warm them all before succumbing to the fatal temperatures.
You know, you can't use a tinderbox to warm yourself unless you have wood to burn. Start a fire with that.
Spooked by the discovery, the crew of the Herald took nothing from the ship except the captain's log to determine what happened to the poor souls on board.
Well, there probably wasn't much to take if everything was frozen solid.
Probably.
True.
Upon reading the book, they discovered that the last log written by the captain was from November 11th, 1762. This indicated that the crew had been dead for 13 years, waiting to be discovered by the first unfortunate ship that found them.
And because it was a saltwater freeze, I bet they looked the exact same as the day they died.
Mm-hmm.
The unsettling voyage of the dead. Dramatic pause. As mentioned previously, the ship's last recorded location in the captain's log was approximately 250 miles north of Utqiagvik, Alaska. This location is near the start of the Northwest Passage, while their location of discovery was along the west coast of Greenland, at the end of the passage. Given the last location recorded in the captain's log, it seems the Octavius did indeed succeed in traveling through the Northwest Passage, but not without anyone alive on board. Neither historical nor medical experts can fully conclude the fates of those aboard the Octavius in 1762. While death by hypothermia or exposure to freezing temperatures is nothing new, the way the bodies were positioned upon death definitely is. The idea that the captain of the ship was simply writing in his log before instantly freezing to death is incomprehensible, leaving experts scratching their heads at the eerie discovery. In addition to these illogical details, historians have struggled to find any additional information about Octavius. They have identified an extremely similar ship, the Gloriana, which has nearly identical story to the Octavius. This story's earliest records are from 1828 and describe the discovery by Captain Warrens of the Try Again. What a great name. Captain Warrens discovered the Gloriana in 1775, and his story has the same detailed discovery of the Octavius, including the exact day and year that the crew perished. However, he does not make any mention of the Northern Passage. To this day, experts are still researching to discover if the Octavius and the Gloriana are in fact the same ship.
My guess is...
What's your guess?
Captain probably had the nicest clothes and the nicest coats. Probably had the warmest bed and the warmest cabin with probably a fire.
Yeah.
I bet his entire crew froze to death and he was like, oh shit.
Probably.
And started writing in his log. He was like, well, just gonna wait it out because now I definitely can't get this ship unstuck.
Oh my god.
That's probably what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was froze to death too, right?
Yeah. Except he was sitting in his chair looking like he was writing in his log.
Interesting.
Thing is, if the log is only at the beginning of the passage, did he write there, realize everyone was dead, and was like, fuck, I don't want to look like an asshole that, like...
that survived longer and was like, I'll stage it to where I don't look like a coward and outlived my entire crew.
Right.
I don't know. You know, he also could have just like eaten his crew members to survive.
You could just read the last passage where it says an exaggerated ghost tale or a stage setup.
Yeah, fuck you.
An exaggerated ghost tale or a stage setup. Though the full story of the fate of the Octavius is unclear, many assume that some of the details of the ship's discovery may have been exaggerated over time. Perhaps stating that the captain was found frozen at his desk was a way to make the story more frightening, getting passed down as fact to future generations. Or perhaps there's another reason the crew was found frozen in the positions they were. Could they have been posed or otherwise manipulated before their recorded discovery in 1775? The world may never know the answers to these questions, but one thing is certain. The mysterious and chilling tale of the Octavius ghost ship lives on. I don't think it was staged.
No.
I mean, you can't... I mean, staging dead men kind of hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, but I mean, they could have, like, let them thaw out a bit and then let them refreeze. Or they could have warmed them up a bit to try to position them.
Yeah, but I mean, you still have rigor mortis, though. I guess not as much when you're frozen, though. I don't know. I think I'm right. I think it was a...
I don't know. Probably just got exaggerated over time, because that's kind of what well, happens with word of mouth.
Yeah, that too.
Fucking telephone
but,
over, like, 800 years.
You know. But it's also the fact of, like, all the guys that died sleeping checks out.
Yeah.
They didn't move. They were frozen. All right, cool. The dude with the tinderbox that was sleeping checks out. He's probably like, yeah, this is going to keep me warm. And he fell asleep. Yeah. It obviously went out pretty quick. He died in his sleep.
Yeah.
And then I bet you the captain went downstairs and went, shit.
His family dying in their sleep.
Yeah.
Checks out.
Yeah, also checks out. Because the captain would have more resources to better survive being cold for longer.
He also could have poisoned himself.
You know, that's a good point.
Because if he had some kind of poison, he could have poisoned himself. While
sitting in the chair and being like, and then froze to death. Because he froze. His dead body froze.
Yeah.
I could see that. Mm-hmm. That's plausible.
Mm-hmm.
Plausible.
Well, did either of you have anything else to say about any of these three ships?
They were boats.
They're ships.
They were majestic.
They're ghost ships. Okay.
I ain't got nothing to say.
Okay. So my resources for these stories were modelercentral.com, travelandleisure.com, and ancientorigins.net. So.
You know what?
What?
The dude on the Northern Passage.
Yes.
I also wonder how they got from the beginning of it to the end.
It was the Decepticons.
Yeah, that's probably right. I bet Megatron did it.
For sure.
Starscream.
Yeah.
It was a Starscream plot.
Yeah.
That's why he was just doing a little trolling.
Well, they were looking for his glasses, remember? When they uncovered the ice giant.
Transformers 1.
Yep.
Michael Bay. Bang, bang. Megan Fox.
Bang, bang.
Also bang, bang. She doesn't know because she doesn't watch good movies. In the first Transformers movie.
I've seen the first Transformers movie.
Okay.
They're looking for Samuel Witwicky's
glasses. His great-grandfather's glasses when he saw Megatron frozen in the fucking ice.
Mm-hmm.
It imprinted the code from Call of Duty Black Ops 1.
Yes.
What's the code, Mason? And imprinted it into his glasses.
Right.
Right.
And then he went crazy and they all froze to death.
Oh.
Yep.
It was Megatron.
It was Megatron.
Oh my god.
Checks out.
Okay. Wow. Thank you, Robert, for joining us.
You are very welcome. It was a pleasure to be here.
You're welcome back, I'm sure, anytime.
I come here when I want to.
That's factual.
That's also true.
Robert loves to have me around.
Robert's just a vagabond. He just shows up. He's like, a free couch? Bet.
Mm-hmm.
We couch surfing out here.
Real couch surfing hours.
With Robert.
Real couch surfing hours with Robert.
Yeah. Is that going to be the next podcast?
I don't know.
Anyways, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at 3 a.m. Tales of Terror. You can message us, email us at info@3amtalesofterror with any questions, comments, concerns, story ideas, anything that you want to talk to us about. Feel free to message us on Facebook, Instagram, or email us. Excuse me, Eli. I don't know what he's doing. Okay, so I guess other than that, we'll see you next time, and thank you, Robert. So goodbye.
Deuces.
Goodbye.